You're listening to Consider This, episode 69, for March 14, 2014.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, if you've got 10 minutes, you have time to consider listening to Consider This, a 10-minute or less podcast of conservative commentary. I'm Doug Payton, the guy responsible for encouraging the short attention spans of political podcast listeners. If you want to get promoted from listener to participant, call me at 267-CALL-CT0 or write me at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. Your views can make it to my show rather easily, so let's hear them. A throwback to my first episode regarding who gives dissenting voices a hearing, using odd words to describe our spending, and respect. Those are the topics coming up. We've had a few more likes on the Facebook page since I last mentioned it. This episode, I'd like to thank Sean Stevenson, Leslie Shelton, and Don Hawthorne for casting their vote for the Consider This page. The easiest way to get there is to go to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com/Facebook. I post news articles of interest to me there between episodes, and we can also have a conversation there. And I'd like to recognize a fellow who calls himself Conservative Dude for leaving not just a 5-star rating on iTunes, but some kind words as well. Thanks so much. In the very first episode of this podcast, back in June of 2012, I asked for your feedback, thoughts, and opinions so that I could put them on this show. To demonstrate that you're more likely to get a fair hearing from a conservative than you would a liberal, I used an example and noted that Bill O'Reilly at Fox News allowed for a far more balanced discussion on his show than did Ed Schultz on MSNBC on the same issue. Now we have further proof of this phenomenon. Alexis Sobel Fitz at the Columbia Journalism Review tackled the subject of paid liberal analysts at Fox News. And here's what she had to say, quote, "Though MSNBC has a handful of moderate conservatives, namely Morning Joe's Joe Scarborough, Fox stands out for the prominence it awards its on-air naysayers, many of whom occupy regular roles on the network's most popular shows." Close quote. The liberals do have more of a voice at a network that leans right. Fitz does note that still the conservatives outnumber the liberals, but interestingly she observes that, quote, "It's a version of on-air political theater that some research suggests can actually further polarize opinions. Put another way, having two conservatives and a liberal can be a more powerful force than three conservatives, a counterintuitive approach that can solidify political beliefs and quash the other side." Close quote. So when Fox lines up its pundits, it might be for ratings and fireworks, for more persuasion, or because they are fair and balanced, at least more fair and balanced than their competition. Which brings us to MSNBC, the most obvious choice from the other side. Fitz can only list Joe Scarborough as a pundit on the right on that network. But why is this? She thinks they're just too afraid of angering their base, who, it sounds to me like, they can't abide even a hint of dissent. Take the aforementioned Ed Schultz, please. And yet,
while the liberal hosts of MSNBC often skewer conservatives, the debates happen with villains who are not in the studio, lambasted by proxy in news clips. At Fox, they happen in person, with a real live liberal who is often on staff. I still think that Fox is the one place on the cable dial for sure where that kind of freewheeling debate takes place, said Juan Williams, who was hired as one of the network's first progressives. Of course, I find it ironic because it's a network with a lot of conservative personalities. Fox has been so supportive of the liberal Williams that he even guest-hosted The O'Reilly Factor, the network's top-rated show.
If you're waiting for Joe Scarborough to guest-host The Rachel Maddow Show, hold not thy breath. This is just another example of the differences on how the left and the right deal with disagreement. On the whole, it seems to me that conservatives can handle and even welcome good debate, while liberals just don't want to hear it. Examples certainly exist of folks on the right ignoring or avoiding contrary opinions, and of liberals you can discuss things with calmly and enjoyably. I know many of them personally. But when given a network to manage, the generalities do exhibit themselves. Fox does lean right, and a conservative will admit that. But MSNBC positively dives to the left. Listen to those who criticize Fox, and you will find a blind spot big enough for a network to fit in. Get a load of the first two paragraphs of this Washington Post article. Like the old Sesame Street game, let's figure out which of these words doesn't belong.
President Obama's forthcoming budget request will seek tens of billions of dollars in fresh spending for domestic priorities while abandoning a compromise proposal to tame the national debt in part by trimming Social Security benefits. With the 2015 budget request, Obama will call for an end to the era of austerity that has dogged much of his presidency and to his efforts to find common ground with Republicans.
Did you catch it? What word in those two paragraphs has no connection whatsoever to reality as it pertains to the subject of the article, government spending? The word, of course, is austerity. The word austere has a few meanings, but the one dealing with spending, according to dictionary.com, is this: without excess, luxury, or ease, simple, limited, severe. Does anyone on either side of the aisle, with even the slightest bit of common sense, or the merest grasp of the reality around us, really believe, for one moment, that our government has been living like that? As budget director Inigo Montoya might say,
"You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means."
President Obama showed off his spelling acumen recently.
When Aretha first told us what R-S-P-E-C-T meant to her, she had no idea it would become a rallying cry for African Americans and women, and then everyone who felt marginalized.
But hey, people misspell things all the time, right? It's no big deal. It's certainly not as big a deal as, say, misspelling potato, right, Dan Quayle? It's not something that will follow you around for years and then wind up in a special section of your Wikipedia page, right, Republican Dan Quayle? The media won't harp on it like they did for Republican Dan Quayle. You, Mr. President, get a pass on respect. Dan got mercilessly pestered about potato. I wonder what the difference is. I wonder why this will be swept under the rug for Democratic President Barack Obama, but not for Republican Vice President Dan Quayle. It's just so baffling. So what do you think? I keep asking that because I want to know. Do you have an opinion on the slants of Fox and MSNBC? What about cable news channel CNN? How do you think they stack up? And what of this austerity? Can you give me any examples of how the government is living without excess and relate that to the ever-steepening debt graph that we've been experiencing the past 5 years? I would love to hear some examples of that. File your reports at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, or come to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com and type away. Show notes, a transcript, and links to everything I referred to, including the potato section of the Dan Quayle Wikipedia page, who, by the way, is a Republican, are there. Making this a conversation will allow us to C-O-N-S-I-D-E-R-T-H-I-S.